Our speaker today is Sharon Weaver. Sharon earned a master's degree in divinity at Vanderbilt University, and she has held work positions as a teacher, a social worker, and a college professor. Sharon currently operates a consulting company called Spiritual Care Providers. The title of Sharon's sermon is Where Have All the Children Gone? Let's welcome Sharon.
First of all, I want to thank you. I was going to do the joys and concerns, but I thought, no, I'm just going to thank you. Last time I was here, I spoke to you and enjoyed it, as I always do, and then I went home and had an appendix attack and drove myself to the emergency room the next Monday, and then was in the hospital 8 days and blah, 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 blah. So, and I got a card from you guys, and it mattered. Very, very much, and it's on my refrigerator, where I open it and see it and read it, and it made me feel so good. So I want to tell you about my adventure since I was here last, because you interceded with good thoughts and wishes and prayers and meditations, and just, if nothing else, scribbled on the card, but it mattered very much to me. It gave me a sense of belonging, that there's people out there that knew and were saddened, or want me to get better. So I just want to thank you and let you know that matters. It dawned on me when Jill was talking, and certainly when Shelley was given the prelude to the story, I thought, oh yeah, I've done Memorial Day before. I've done that, and I talked about, you know, war and honoring people, and I think, Joe, that's where we had a good conversation, because I was feeling a little guilty, because this is not at all. I'm like, Shelley, it's not about that at all, what I'm going to talk about today. So now that I clear the air and get rid of my guilt, I'm ready to talk about Where Have All the Children Gone? And this came to me a month ago, really before the last time, and I thought about it. Oh my gosh, that is huge. I'm sorry. Squirrel, right? This is just beautiful. Joe, did you and Bertie bring this giant? For those of you that cannot see this, this is the biggest dandelion, looks like. What is it?
It's a bloom of a yellow goat's beard.
A bloom of a yellow goat's beard. It looks like a giant dandelion. I was like, where does he grow those? What kind of contaminants are in the ground up there? It's beautiful. I've never seen that. Well, thank you for bringing that. Anyway, that was kind of my sort of example of childhood and children, because I want to talk about where the children have gone. And this is not depressing. Google it. I always plan what I'm going to say. Then I Google and look and search for stuff. And this is not negative. It's not about the children have gone and they're all shooting up drugs or prostituting themselves or whatever, which a lot of poems and songs are out there. Let me tell you, I was like, man, this is depressing. But I thought, what prompted this is I had to get up and go somewhere. And I can't even remember where it was, and it doesn't really matter. What you need to hear is I had to get up and go somewhere at a certain time, right? And I found myself not wanting to get out of bed and dreading. And like, oh, I dread the chores of the day. I dread this. I dread that. And that's, and I thought, when did that happen? You know, I used to get excited about getting out of bed. Now think about it. Way back when you were a child, and before you knew what happened when you got out of bed and all the stuff you had to do, you were excited to get out of bed. In fact, sometimes you wouldn't stay in bed when your parents or whoever wanted you to. Think Sunday or Saturday cartoons, if you were in that kind of loop, where I wanted to get up and see cartoons, you know, and it might be before cartoons started, where you watch the crappy ones to get to the good ones, and then maybe hang on to the latter ones if you could do that without being thrown outside to go play. But there were times that I wanted to get up. Think about holiday mornings. Now, we celebrated Christmas at my house, and oh my gosh. One, I couldn't stand to go to bed the night before, and then two, I couldn't wait to get up. But it wasn't just those times. Most children, early on, unless there are significant problems, have this eagerness and excitement to get up. And parents, you know this. You see that. Oh, yeah, go back to sleep just a little while. And it doesn't matter exactly what's in the day. It might be something you've planned, but it might be something they want to do or play. Or they jump out of bed and for some reason they are a pirate today. And you're going, where's John? John is not here. This is Pirate Bilbo or whatever. It may be that somebody gets up and go, I'm a princess today. I'm a princess. I don't know who you're talking to. This is Princess Whoever. And you're like, oh, okay. When's the last time you did that? Yeah, okay, come on. I know, Jill, this morning you said, I'm going to be Princess Jill today. And Frank was like, ha, 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 avashti, mateys, I'm going into the yo-yos. Yeah. When do we do, what happened? What happened? And I think that the what happened is, where did the children go? Where are the children? I want to look out at you guys. You were children once. We couldn't even diap ourselves. We couldn't even do that. We had someone to totally depend on. As Erickson said, Eric Erickson, childhood development, talks about the first stage and the importance of being able to trust. It's where we develop trust because our caregivers hopefully are competent enough that we can trust them. And not everybody had that experience, but that's an important stage of development. Piaget talks about stages of development. The two, you know, oh, we're not worthy kind of childhood development people, and there's more. And they talk about the importance of play. And we talk about the importance of pretend play. And I'm not really wanting to focus on play or even pretend. I want us to focus on the eagerness, the anticipation of the day. Carpe diem, right? Seize the day. How many of us don't think that it's like dread the day? Oh, the day. Or it's the day, rock and roll, gotta go to work. Got to get up. It's just another day. What happened to that? On days that there wasn't even anything to get excited about. And kids play in war. Play, not only play war, but they play in war. They play in war-torn countries. They play and get out and imagine things in poverty-stricken areas. And still, often, not always because of the environment, but often get up with an anticipation and eagerness of the day or their ability to get lost in the play or whatever they're doing. Yeah. That's really important to be able to do. When's the last time you did that? Got lost, maybe. Where am I? Where's the GPS? Well, that's what I'm really talking about today. I'm not just asking, where have the children gone? Really, I'm asking, where have we gone? And more specifically, where's our inner child? Where did our child and childhood anticipation and eagerness and joy go? And now maybe I'm wrong. I tell you, I have looked and looked and looked and researched. And you can follow through and do this. I looked for eagerness in childhood. Let's say, just a quick, you know, hit the computer, see if I can supplement or see anything. Where's the eagerness to learn? Pages and pages of eagerness to learn. Childhood play leads to learning. Childhood play and learning and childhood play and learning and the importance of childhood play and learning. Okay, childhood joy and your depressive child. And it talked about depression and bipolarness and problems. Childhood and energy. I thought, okay, childhood and energy. Where do we get energy? ADHD, problems in ADHD. How to raise your over-energetic child. So I'm like, oh, dear. So what I saw in society, and this is important to what I'm asking today, what I saw in society is the things that we talked about, which are normal things in childhood, just observations. In fact, we want a joyous, energetic, enthusiastic child who's eager and anticipating the day. That's what we see as a normal, okay child. When you look at that, society either is figuring out how to use that to learn to grow into healthy, productive adults, Or either we're analyzing it to see what's the opposite of that, what the problem is, looking for problems, problems, problems. So it's like, for heaven's sakes, where's the exploration and the fascination and the embracement of all of these things instead of the dissection and the looking at analyzing the problems with it? Then I went into and looked at adult play. Now, you have to be real careful when you put that in. And I was. I was like, okay, I know this is going to be problematic. So have adults and pretend play. And never use the word fantasy. Because even though children are playing fantasy stuff, we say pretend. And when you get into fantasy, well, that's a whole other ball of wax that we do as grown-ups that you can, we're not going to tell you now. So you have to be careful. Now, that's not real, but there is that kind of web divide, internet divide of, if you talk fantasy, they're going to whoosh you into other things that you're not going to speak up and talk to people Sunday morning about. Unless you're having like Sunday afternoon and an addiction. But anyway, so I looked and there were forums and blogs and questions, mostly questions on sites that are called Am I Normal? And I looked at one of them and said, am I normal? I like to pretend. I like to pretend, and sometimes I even have a plastic sword, and I pretend that I'm going, and I walk in the woods, and I pretend I'm fighting the evil monsters behind me, or whatever it was. I'm running through the forest, and I'm defending the forest, and I'm 23. And it was like this big shaming secret. There were others that said, I've never told anybody this. And you're waiting for this, oh my gosh, but I like to pretend play. And what you saw after that was, oh my, I thought it was the only one. I thought it was the only one. You too, blah, 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 blah. So it's like the secret society of people who still like to play. And it's not such a secret if you go to, what, the Renaissance Festival? This is the last weekend of the Renaissance Festival. Go out there. Well, yeah. Yeah, that's another good one. But what do you see? People dressed up pretending. Pretending. And it's fun. But they're in a festival. They might even be paid. So that's okay. That's okay. But why can't you do that at home? When do you get up and go, I'm going to work. But today I'm going to be super employee or super teacher. Super attorney today, and I'm showing you super doctor. I don't know. Well, you don't do that. And you certainly, even if you did it in the privacy of your own home, when you walked out, you dropped that and went back. Hello. Sit down. Yeah, you don't. We don't embrace life the way we did as children. Now, it doesn't mean we need to think the same one thing as we did. As of course, Piaget talked about some of the cognitive development. And why, especially at certain levels, we see things very rigidly and black and white, so to speak, and a lot of people never seem to got beyond that, have gotten beyond that. But I want us to think about a few things and ask yourself these questions. And for a second hour, I have a questionnaire we're going to ask and work on some of them. But I've got five questions I want you to consider here. Do you wake up with an eagerness to get up and get into life? Do you do that? Where in some days, yeah. Well, you know, some days, Carol Sue, I do too. I was just thinking, you know, what are those days? Those days are usually if I've had a good night's sleep before and I don't really have anything on the schedule. I don't have shoulds, you know. And learning about yourself, and I've talked about this many times, I loathe deadlines. I don't like have-tos, you know. A lot of people do, but I really have a problem. So it's important to know that, even when you're setting it up for yourself. But when's the last time that that happened? Even when you didn't have to go to work. Memorial Day, how many people have off? How many people are not working tomorrow? Yeah, I'm not working tomorrow. And you know what? Tomorrow can be a somber day. I mean, we light candles and we do remember. But it seems to me that the thing we really should do if we want to pay homage to those who have passed and don't have a chance to do it is get out and have a hell of a good time, you know, and have some fun, do some play or do some enjoyment. So ask yourself tomorrow, am I going to wake up with eagerness? Can I wake up and go, whoa, And if filling your schedule doesn't do it for you, then knock it off and say, tomorrow I'm going to have nothing to do and nowhere to go. Even if it's only for 30 minutes, tell yourself that and see how you feel. The second one, do you play? Do you pretend play? Not just cards. One of the things I read where this woman had written this blog about why adults don't pretend play. And she and some other mothers had gotten together and they had their kids and they were watching them pretend play. You know, getting into the clothing or, you know, pretending and making making up their faces or making up their bodies and whatever they were going to pretend to be. And she said, we sat around and said, why don't we do that? Why don't we pretend play anymore? And so they talked about it and said, what could we pretend to do? So one, already imagination is kind of getting dried up and going, what would we pretend to be or do? And then they decided that the only thing they could really come up with is they wanted to pretend that they weren't moms and that they could go out to dinner and have a nice dinner. And I'm like, boring. Okay. Yeah, you might need it, but gosh, you don't use it, you lose it. Is that the best you can do? You've got friends here. You could pretend to take over the world. You could pretend to do all sorts of, get on a spaceship, ghosts, I don't know, but nope. So when are you pretending and when are you playing? Another blog, another guy said he was down to the beach with his children, one of his child. And he saw these other strangers, and he just said, stranger one, stranger two, and stranger's children. And he said, it wasn't too long till my child went over and started talking to strangers and then started playing with strangers' children. And next thing I know, they were running up and down the coast and looking at seashells and playing and running and doing all this stuff. And we went over and talked about how bad traffic was in the commute at home. And he said, and it was a gentleman, he said, I thought, why can't we pretend we're a Stegosaurus? What would these people do if I said, let's pretend like they are? You know, let's tell the children we'll be the dinosaurs. Roar! I imagine they would have probably grabbed their children and left pretty soon. Don't you? I mean, you don't know people. And it's like, let's go play pretend. What would you do if somebody said that? You probably would think they're a little off or high, or you just really are inhibited. And yeah. So ask yourself, do you play and do you pretend to play? Now, we are separating this out for sexual pretend play. That's fine. And healthy fantasy, whatever, that's good. But we're just talking about playing in general without that with people. Number three, have you laughed lately so hard that you've peed your pants? Some people may say yes for other reasons. There may be incontinence going on, and we don't have to discuss that. However, when you're a child, it is so funny to laugh. Laugh, you laugh hysterically, roll in the grass, maybe laughing. You're laughing with your friends, even into adolescence, laughing so hard. Usually at the kid, the table, the joke is somebody laughs, and especially if they've got milk in their mouth and comes out their nose or something. That's hard laughing. You know, you've seen those gags on movies and stuff. When have you laughed so hard that you just have to catch your breath? Or you start laughing at someone laughing so hard. That's extremely healthy. It's extremely healthy. Physically, emotionally, it's chemically healthy for your body. And yet, what do? I mean, when we're kids, we don't have to see a movie to do that, do we? Because we learn. We learn when we go to the theater. You sit down and you listen and you don't talk. So, and laugh when others are laughing. So most of the time when we're little kids, we're laughing and having a great time doing nothing. Something stupid, right? Really goofy. Maybe we're tired or whatever. When do we do that as adults? And don't just rely on someone else to make you laugh. Number four, when was the last time you engaged in an activity and completely lost track of time? Not because it was so hard and you had to get it done, doggone it, blah, 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 blah. But you were having so much fun. I'm going to tell my brother, and he'll never hear this. Ha, 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 Mitch. Mitchell used to play so intensely that he would not take time to go to the bathroom. And my mother used to say you could watch him
because he would play in the sandbox, let's say, be outside playing in the sandbox, and he'd get up and he'd start to run, and then he'd go back, and he'd go back, and he'd just play just a little bit more because he thought of something else he wanted to do, and then he'd start running to the bathroom. And then she said she'd watch him. She'd start going to the door, and she'd watch him, but no, he wasn't quite through, and he'd go back and play something else. And then she knew then, about two or three times, then he would run madly toward the door, and she would just fling open the door to the kitchen and let him run through to the bathroom, and sometimes he made it and sometimes he didn't. Because he was so intent and having so much fun. That's the reason we grew up with a bubble bush in the back of the house. We had one bush that we finally designated Mitchell's, that he would go to the bubble bush. And it lasted a little while, you know. It was probably didn't die until a couple years. And he kind of grew up out of that. But that sense of, I can't wait to, I got to do this. This is so much fun. I miss something. When did you have that last experience of you're doing something and you don't want to leave it. You don't want to stop because you might miss it. That's something to think about, where you completely lose yourself in conversation with someone, in an activity, in the excitement of the moment. And the last one I want you to think about, do you own and wear any superhero underpants? Yay! Whoa! Yeah, high five. Wonderful. Sweatpants. Oh, sweatpants. Good, good. Now think about it as a kid, and you go into the store to buy kids' underwear. If you try to just buy these little pretty pastel whatevers or these little male little boxes, most of the time you're going to find Superman, Ninja Turtles on sale because Ninja Turtles are kind of out. But you're going to find some sort of super duper hero or princess panties or something out there. I have looked for my son and cannot find them. I'm sure I could go online and pay a fortune, but why, you know, we have Victoria's Secrets for all this other stuff. And if that's not fantasy, you know, where's this other, where I want to see the superheroes. I want to see Wonder Woman and Superman, bend the genders. It doesn't matter. I want my Superman underwear on for days that I'm going, oh my Lord, I can't get out of bed and I can't pretend. I'll put my Superman underwear on or Wonder Woman underwear on and I'll make it. And that's what kids do. They put it on, right? You have to have multiple pairs. Or you better be washing all the time because I don't want my Superman underwear. I mean, that fits, right? I really want that. So what happened? Why don't we do that? Why? We're capable adults. We're already Supermen and women. We don't need that. We're going out into the world to fight evils. No, no, no. We never will not need that. We do. And I recommend if you can find a pair, get a pair just for those days that it's difficult. We'll have to make that an activity we looked for. But even if you can't, why don't you make your own? Make your own. Get some plain old white whatevers. This could be a very good activity for the UU's next retreat. Make your own super underwear. You know, yeah, the tie-dyes, whatever, and make your underwear. And make it so that you can wear it and feel empowered. Because that's what kids do. It's just little things. And they don't let it bother them that they have it on. They don't let it bother them that they're going to try something and they don't like it. Blech. Or they do like it and want to eat it. And we have, what happens? What was it Mark Twain said? You know? Anybody remember the quote about school and learning? No, I'm really asking. Shoot, there goes my memory. Sort of like my education ended at school or when I started schooling. Someone Google that. Grab my phone.
It was when school was
over,
started learning. Basically.
Yeah, basically. And what he was saying is they get you when you start getting socialized. Now, not only do we know that... because we see it. We see the results, and I'm asking those questions. But we know because of the research on our amygdala, on our brains, and I've talked about the amygdala before, the part of our brain, the neuro part of our brain that senses emotion. And then we learn to shut it down and not do things because we've learned that other people's reaction tell us it's socially unacceptable. So we learn right and wrong, what we should and shouldn't do. And I imagine it almost like something being piled on us that weighed us down. So instead of whipping out of that bed going, come on, day, let's see what we can do. It's like, oh, I've got to get out of bed and I've got to do this, this, and this, all up to someone else's standards, right? All up to someone's, get up, make your bed, fix your breakfast, clean those dishes, do this, do that, do this. This is the way you do it as a responsible, successful adult. And it can be very, very heavy. So I want you to think about this Memorial Day weekend of celebrating a little bit, having a little more fun. Ask yourself where that inner child is. You're still in there. The children really have gone nowhere. They're just in us with this overriding adult going, don't do that. Shouldn't do that. Don't let anyone see you do that. You don't need Superman underpants. I encourage you to break that. And to revisit yourself, revisit that inner child, and revisit that person, that child, that little one inside of you who experienced joy and excitement and the getting up and the wonder, whether it's dirt at a garden, perhaps, or an excitement of seeing a friend, or just spending time alone in a with a companion where you two are going out and change the world. I encourage you to do that. And thank you so much for your time today. I do hope you enjoy your Memorial Day. Make it memorous. And I will have some activities we'll do at the second hour. Thank you.